Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to episode 22 of the DesignFootball.com podcast. My name is Jay. I'm the resident blogger on DesignFootball.com. This is a preview of 2017. I'm joined today by Chris Oakley, who is known for his work on the Football Attic, the fantastic Kit Bliss website, and in the real world is also a graphic designer, webmaster, and lots of other great things. Hi, Chris. How are you?
Hi, Jay. Yeah, good. Thanks. Yeah, nice to speak to you again.
It's wonderful to have you on. Now, I spoke to John Devlin the other day, and we did a kind of review of the things that have gone on in 2016. Did you enjoy 2016 from a football design perspective?
Yeah, I'd say so. Every year is brings new designs and a new approach to things. And I mean, there was some obvious sort of things that sort of spring to mind, really. I think, I don't know why, but the first thing I always springs to my mind is the Nike vaporware stuff. Mm-hmm. It was just so dominant, really. And whether you like it or not, it was just, I don't know, like I say, it just cropped up everywhere, and club and national level. And I think it has some virtue to it, really. I mean, I wouldn't say it's the best football kit design there's ever been, but I just thought it was a good, strong design, and mostly speaking, Nike really stuck to the template quite rigidly, and there's a lot to like about it, as much as it may, at times, got a little bit monotonous to see it over and over again. But that was the main one for me, really. That's what I think 2016 will be all about when we look back in years to come as wizened old men.
Yeah. See, I obviously spoke to, as I mentioned, I spoke to John the other day. And yeah, it came up, the Nike Nike Vapor kits. Yeah, we've fallen into the trap completely of them doing something which didn't necessarily appeal immediately, and maybe made a lot of people angry, and yet that sums up the year. That so all the attention has gone onto what they did, and as I mentioned to John, when the main competition, it was Euro 2016, and two teams wearing that Nike Vapor kit made it to the final, and one of them clearly won it. So
yeah, all kinds of sort of facets to that design and how popular it became and where it was seen and where it wasn't seen and so on. Yeah, it was an interesting one, I thought.
You almost have traditional football kits and then you have Nike Vapor, and whether it's better or not, it's difficult to say, but if you want to say that it is better than other football kits, then you've got a lot of ammunition for that, really, because of the success on field. But we'll see.
I think it was the socks. If the contrasting coloured socks, I think if they could have fixed that, the overall opinion of that template would have been miles better, I think, actually. But I mean, it doesn't make it a disastrous kit. It's just perhaps what a lot of people weren't expecting or couldn't handle for some reason.
Yeah. You have its successes, and I think in the case of England particularly, it was a massive, massive failure. I would imagine the sales were not great, but I don't know. No. I don't know. I would hate to say something that I can't actually back up, but I suspect that they were poor, and obviously England did not play well in the kit either. So that's the negative aspect of it. But apart from that, yeah, it's frustrating. I think it's frustrating when someone does something new and you look at it and say, well, you haven't got any right to do that. And they go, well, we have got the right to do it. We are doing it. And look, it's actually working. Because the whole focus of it was that this is the optimum performance technology, and they kind of improved, right? But we went over this enormously with John Devlin, so I don't want to get bogged down in that again. But they're winning. They're winning again, because we're going to dedicate two podcasts, just a third podcast, because we did it a year ago and we focused on it, and now we're looking back on it and talking about it. So, 2016 belongs to Nike Vapor, but there were other things that happened. Is there anything else that caught your eye?
Well, I just think, because I seem to remember, I think we had must have had a discussion about this time last year, and the discussion we had then was that there were a lot of clubs, at least in the UK, that were dipping into the whole retro thing. They were kind of going into different eras. And I think in 2016, the move has been away from the retro sort of approach, which is no bad thing necessarily. I think retro designs are good if you have a bit of light and shade, and then you kind of dip in and out occasionally. It's when you have clubs that every single season do a different retro kit and different retro kit and different retro kit. You need new stuff. You've got to have new designs, or at least a new take on something. And I think this year in general, we've seen a move away from retro designs, generally speaking. And I say that's good, because when retro comes around again, for all we know it might be next year, at least we'll have sort of had a bit of a break from it. But some interesting sort of more modern looking designs has helped to cleanse the palette, you might say.
Yeah, I've seen that with some of the smaller manufacturers like Joma and Macron and so on. They seem to be doing their own thing. Obviously there's an idea that kits should be tight and streamlined and so on, and Kappa have obviously had some very, very tight fitting kits again, which they're known for anyway. But yeah, some of the designs, they're asymmetric. I think Araya have done asymmetric designs, Joma have done asymmetric designs, so that's that obviously is not retro really. You wouldn't think many of those would be retro. That's like almost to the point where 20 years ago, if you said what would a kit look like in 2016, some of the kits that have been released this year would be faithful to that idea. So we're now in the modern times, I suppose, which is a little bit of a strange feeling to have, where that future that we imagined and then we went, that'd be ridiculous. Well, actually, it's here. It's happening. You say about there hasn't been the retro elements so much. I think there's a conflict maybe between what you would describe as retro and high watermark. So a lot of manufacturers or clubs maybe will go back and say, what was the best kit we had? And we'll try to recreate that in the modern day, which is retro, obviously, by definition. Yeah. But it's also not saying we will pick a random point in history. We will actually go, okay, what was the strong design? What was the definitive design of our kit? We'll go for a modern approach with that. So not so much of its time back then, but just maybe pick the best timeless design from the past and recreate that in a modern way, which I suppose that's what you would always go for. But then you've got to alternate that each season or every 2 seasons it used to be, but it's each season now really, because everyone releases a new kit every season. You alternate it with something modern and fresh and exciting, and then you go back to the classic kit. And Liverpool recently, especially with the home kits, have gone for that high watermark approach each season, but maybe a little bit of a twist on it each year. So they don't seem to be going for anything modern with their home kits. The other thing about the retro element is the Germany and Russia kits that were released quite recently. They're going to be worn, I think, in the Confederations Cup, or that's what they've been billed as. What did you think of those?
Well, I think they're terrific. I mean, and ironically, those are, there's a definite nod in the direction of the retro on those ones, particularly with the Germany one, I would say. I think they're lovely, and it proves that you can do it. You can create these really strong designs, but make them look modern and not a complete, absolute, 100% copy of what went before. They're nice. I mean, that's Adidas design probably at their best. Adidas are capable of doing so much original work and sort of eye-catching with it as well, and yet we don't seem to see enough of that, at least at club level in the UK. We seem to get these fairly kind of ho-hum, I mean, smart, neat looking kits, but nothing to kind of really set the pulse racing. And I think with those two shirts or kits that you mentioned there, I think they're terrific, and the lovely sort of zigzag design on the Russia shirt is, I mean, you'd think it'd never been done before, but the reaction I'm seeing from people that just saying, wow, this is just amazing. I mean, it is a sort of pastiche of something that's gone before, but it's done really well, and I can't wait to see more of it in future. I would say I'm a little less overwhelmed by the Germany shirt, but they're both very strong designs and both really well made. And I just wish that it sounds terribly scathing, I don't wish it to be, but I think Adidas design has a lot of potential, and that gives you an insight into what's possible, albeit using a sort of retro vehicle, if you like, to achieve it. But in my view, we don't see enough eye-catching stuff from Adidas at club level, but they're two wonderful designs. I really want to see them sort of, you know, I think the Germany shirt has already been, or the Germany kit has already been worn, hasn't it, I think in friendlies recently, or even Euro qualifiers, I can't remember, I think that's right.
I'm pretty sure the Germany one has. I don't know about the Russian one, but
yeah, I'm not sure.
The thing with the Germany one, and the thing with both of them, is in recent years there have been patterns used. So let's say 5 or 6 years ago, there would be the return of like the bold patterns in the watermark or as a background or something, but it always used to play second fiddle to whatever structure was going on with the shirt with Adidas. So they would have all these different panels, and it would kind of be drowned out by whatever structure was going on with the shirt, and that hasn't really happened with these two. So that it takes like pride of place, and it is the most prominent element of the shirt with that.
They speak for themselves, don't they, with that?
Yeah, so the Germany one is, it's a nod to, you would describe it as the Netherlands 88 home shirt, or more pertinently, the shirt that Germany wore against England in the Italian 90 semi-final. It's that sort of pattern, that geometric, isometric thing. So it's a bold thing to do, to put it on the home shirt instead of the away shirt, and that's quite, I suppose, subversive would be, might be a little bit of an overblown way of putting it, but to actually say, no, we're not just going to release a green, because that would be an easy way of doing it, to say, okay, we're just going to release a green shirt with that pattern on it again, and it will sell loads of units because everyone will love it because it's like the old one. But to actually say, no, we're not going to do that, we're going to do it with a home shirt, is a bold thing to do. I think it's got the classic three coloured trim on the collar. I think, I don't know if it's got it on the cuffs as well, but it's on the collar. And I think it's almost as if there's two shirts in one there, and they could have done one or the other. But I think they used that trim on the last Germany shirt as well, so it probably wouldn't have been enough of a change to just have a V-neck with that trim. But yeah, it's a great shirt, but the Russia one for me is just fantastic. Great shirt. It is, the one thing it is missing is CCTP on the front, I think.
But, I think we're all agreed on that, aren't we?
Yeah, but you can get that done, surely. It's not going to be that difficult.
That's heat transfer lettering, yeah.
You know that Putin's version of that shirt that he wears at home, the one he sleeps in, it's got to be his pyjamas, the one he sleeps in, he's definitely had CCTP put on the front.
When he goes hunting in.
No, he's shirtless when he goes hunting.
Of course, yes, absolutely. No, it would be his sleepwear.
So those are the big shirts for me. So towards the end of this year, so they've been real highlights for me. And then there's the other brands. So, oh, sorry, with Adidas as well, they're pushing the leisure wear a lot. And I spoke to John about this, I think. But the sort of derivative stuff, the Adidas Originals and stuff that is coming out for Manchester United and Real Madrid and Bayern is really good. It's for people who have got OCD, it's a little bit annoying because they're using like the trefoil logo on designs that when they were originally released in the 90s actually would have had the equipment logo on them and that kind of thing. But there's some fantastic stuff. I saw a pair of Real Madrid jogging bottoms that are white and cream, and oh, they're just fantastic. They look velour and they're just wonderful. So that's some of that stuff is great, and it gives people alternatives to actually wearing the playing kit, and I think that's really being pushed now, and you'll see more of that in 2017, that fans will have options outside of the actually buying just a replica shirt. Here's a whole range of different things you could wear to support your football club, even more than there has ever been before. So that's a great thing for me. The other manufacturers, anything else that you've seen?
Well, I kind of feel that Puma and Under Armour are the sort of two that manufacturers that stand out that are really still offering something a little bit different and not just kind of being as formulaic as some of the other manufacturers, which may be a bit harsh, maybe sort of being generalizing a bit too much, but I would say certainly Puma continue to be very strong in what they do. They're not doing anything necessarily wild and wacky in their designs, but they're just sort of offering something a bit different. And Under Armour as well. I mean, sort of thinking of the Tottenham kit with the sort of shoulder panels. Okay, one could argue that's been done on occasions before across the top of the shoulders, but it's just a nice, different sort of offering. And the general sort of understated styling that you get sort of around the cuffs and so on the shirt. I think both of those manufacturers are continuing to do excellent work, and hope that continues into next year, of course.
Under Armour tend to do their own thing, and Puma's, that's always been the case. They don't seem to follow the trends of the other manufacturers.
No.
The Rangers kits, I think there was a whole dispute about Sports Direct not being allowed to stock them or something. I can't remember what. They went into some big dispute, and they weren't stocked in Sports Direct stores for a long time, I don't think. But now I think that's been resolved one way or another now. But they're great. They've given them three really good kits, I think. So Puma, they're doing their own thing, and that's working out okay. I'm not a great fan of the Arsenal kit, but or any of the Arsenal kits this season. But yeah, they're always interesting to see, because with other manufacturers, you can have an idea of the trends. So you can see the trends, and you can see, this is what's going to follow off the back of that, and that's the direction they're moving in. With Puba, it seems to go against that a little bit. There seems to be like a time shift. They're in we're going through an old cycle of what happened 10 years ago, and then they go through it again. With Puba, they may be 5 years behind that, or the other way of looking at it is that they're 5 years ahead. So. They're an interesting one. What have you thought of Umbro recently? Where do you think they are now?
I think it's still they're doing really well. I mean, I remember at the start of the season, or before the start of the season, when the new kits were coming out, and the two that spring to mind were sort of Derby and the Everton away, which had a sort of ring around the sort of shoulder going under the arm and everything. And I sort of, at the time, I thought, wow, that's quite a strong design, but does it look a little bit too clinical? And I've recently seen both of those. I think I saw Everton playing in their away kit the other day, yellow and blue, and it just looks so good, I think. And so that, to my mind, proves that they're doing wonderful stuff still. And in that particular template, the choice of colours, there's a lot to be said for the choice of colour on kits, rather than any particular motifs that are used or design devices, let's say. But it's the choice of colours that they go. I think that's what Umbro are showing that they're still very good at. And I mean, as a West Ham fan, this year's West Ham kit, not as good as last season's. I think last season's kit for West Ham was sort of exceptional. But again, going back to the colours, this season West Ham have an away kit which is white shirts with the pale blue shorts, and they've made that look really good. Whenever I've seen West Ham playing in their away kit this season, that looks really, really good. I would argue better than the all pale blue one from last season. So I think Umbro have nothing to worry about whatsoever. They're in a very good place, and I just want to sort of see them more and more prominent, if not in the Premier League, then in, you know, across all four top divisions, really. I know it's kind of a gradual process, them sort of rebuilding and getting back perhaps to where they were, but I want to see it happen. I think they're doing all the right things myself. What about yourself?
Yeah, the most I agree with a lot of that. I'm not so sure with the Everton kit with the, it looks like they're wearing a backpack, but there's a team that you talked about on your podcast the other day. I don't know if they're called Nacional or something.
Nacional, yeah, Uruguay, yep.
Yeah, so they've got the taping on the shoulder. Yeah, so that's similar to the England shirt, which is, I think, 99 to 2001, which is a great England shirt. If you look back at that shirt and, yeah, that one's... That is a forgotten great of England football shirts, that one.
It certainly is.
So there's taping down the shoulder and sleeve on that one, and they've brought that back. So we're hoping, I think, do I speak for you as well when I say that we're hoping that it will come back in the Premier League, maybe with whoever's with Umbro next season. They'll have that taping on the sleeve.
And not only that, but I just find that, you know, occasionally you get a brief glimpse of an Umbro kit, because obviously they're still quite noticeable with the kits that they design for South American teams. I mean, in the case of Peru national team, but also clubs like Nacional. And you catch a glimpse of some of these kits and you think, oh, if only we could see more of that, because they seem to cater for that market, or, I don't know, maybe just for... you know, the sensibilities of South American fans in their designs, and it's often different from what we get. And I just, in the number of times I think, oh, if only we could see more of that on your, you know, on Umbro's kits for the UK market, it'd be wonderful. And that is a prime example. I'd love to see it, since, as you said, it's essentially white taping, ribbon taping on a white shirt. So you might sort of think, well, what's the point of that? You can't see it, but it's just beautifully done, especially if you can see the detailing up close. Oh, I'd love to see more of that next season.
Mm. Well, in whatever form it takes. So if it is, even if it's contrast, then I'd be pretty pleased just to see it return. So that'd be really good. Looking forward to the next batch of Umbro kits for that reason mainly, I think. They're in a situation where they went down the classic route, and we're moving away from that, and I've said before that I think it's mainly to do with Warrior. They set those wheels in motion despite releases of horrendous kits. They were the ones that were brave enough to actually say, no, we're not going to do these plain things anymore, we need to do something different. And they gave us those some horrible kits, but since then the other manufacturers have followed, so all the graphic designs and so on have come back. Yeah, so all the bold prints and so on, you're seeing all this stuff coming back, which is great. And Umbro are stuck between these two. From an ethos point of view, do they follow that, or do they say, no, actually, we do things classically? And they are finding the middle ground just about right at the minute, but as a result, they're not quite as distinctive as they were, but still releasing some decent kits. One manufacturer, another kit that you talked about on your podcast is the Senegal African Nations Cup kit, which is, the shirt is fantastic. It's got a big lion, isn't it? I think it's a lion on the chest.
Right, yes. Weren't sure, but it is a lion.
Yeah, it's great, and particularly happy about that one being so good and being so high profile, because it was designed by a designfootball.com member, Irving Perez, who I spoke to on a podcast earlier this year, and he's no longer with Romai Sports, I don't think, but he did design that shirt. They I think they tweaked it after he had left very slightly, but it was his it was his concept, and it's so for that one to be so well received on your fantastic podcast and just generally made me quite happy. I might even get that one. I'm tempted by that one. Very tempted by that one. It's a good one.
Excellent. Yeah, yeah. Fantastic design.
So well done to Irving for that. And yeah, that's, I suppose, the direction we wait and see. So I spoke to John about it a little bit, and we'll see where the manufacturers go. We may be getting hints of it. The Adidas stripes are moving back to the shoulders, which that way. It seems that way, I think, from what we've seen, from the releases we've seen recently. The Adidas stripes certainly as a trend are going to be moving back to the shoulders. It was only a one season thing, really.
I had a feeling that might be the case.
Yeah, I did as well. And I spoke to several people sort of in the know who suggested that it would be just a temporary thing to mix it up a little bit. And sad in a way, because I think it worked really well. The continuation onto the shorts, for example.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
So I've alluded to it a couple of times, but one of the great things about 2016 has been your podcast. So the Football Attic, we thought the Football Attic was, fair to say, we thought it was dead. And it's, as a blog site, it's either in hibernation or it's an ex blog site, but you did resurrect the podcast, didn't you?
Well, yes. It was a sort of strange process, really, because about this time last year, actually, we decided to bring the blog site to a close. I was just suffering a bit from mental burnout from having sort of written so much over 4 years, and felt like I just wanted to kind of have a bit of a break, which we did. But we maintained, Rich Johnson and I, but sort of maintained that we always enjoyed doing the podcasts for the Football Attic. And we had a break for about a couple of months. Then we decided to have a try with a new podcast project called Attic Life, where we just sort of talk about stuff predominantly which isn't football, stuff, everyday life kind of subjects, if you like. And we did a few of those. And although we haven't recorded one of those for a long time, we haven't completely finished. We're going to sort of crop up from time to time and do an occasional one of those. But I think we both felt that we really wanted to talk about football when we did podcasts. And so we sort of said, okay, well, we can bring those back, but what do we talk about? Because we used to talk about football nostalgia before. We've done that. We've kind of ran out of subjects on football nostalgia. And of course, we've both always been fans of kit design. And so it made sense to bring back the Football Attic podcast, but to talk about kits, even though it's not logical from the point of view of, obviously football kit design is ostensibly a visual medium, but we sort of went along with it. We felt that if people were interested enough, then they'd kind of run with it, and to some extent they are, and it's been a joy. We sort of brought those, we started doing those podcasts in June this year, and we've done about 11 so far, typically on a fortnightly basis, and they're going well. And complimenting your own fine work, I think it's proving to be a worthwhile exercise.
Yeah, at the very least. It certainly is. I really enjoy listening to them. Something that I don't do, or we don't do on this podcast, is really reviews of the latest releases, and there's various reasons for that. Mainly because I know that after I record one of these podcasts, it could be a long time before I actually publish it. So things that are news when we record it are not necessarily news to the same extent when it gets published. So I try to keep some sort of edging towards a timeless quality to these for necessity, really. But what you do on yours is a topical review of the latest shirts that have been released, and it's great to listen and go, oh, I haven't actually seen that one, and actually just have a look at that kit that you're describing. So that's great.
The thing is, we're sort of describing a lot of kits a lot of the time, which I don't know to what extent people appreciate it or find it tedious or whatever, but something that we've just started doing the last one or two podcasts is providing a sort of on request service, which is to provide a kind of crib sheet, so that if you're hearing us describing a particular kit but you can't be bothered to go onto Google and look for a picture of it yourself, you can actually get in contact with us and say, can I have your crib sheet for this podcast? And we will contact you and send it to you, and then you can actually sort of look at the visuals while you're listening to us, which is something we should have done a lot earlier, because it's obvious, but we started doing it, and the feedback we've had, such as it is so far, has been good. So we're going to be doing more of that, and hopefully adds that extra visual dimension to what we're doing. It would sort of would be the obvious thing to do, frankly.
Yeah, that's a little bit like a director's commentary as a DVD extra, isn't it? So that's
yeah,
that's quite handy.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, we've never insulted people or tried to spoon feed people by sort of saying, look, if you're going to listen to our podcast, yeah, you must have this picture in front of you. We trust people to go and investigate shirts that we're describing if they're interested. But you know, it does perhaps get a little bit dry if you're just hearing us sort of saying, and now this team has just brought out a blue shirt and it's got a white collar, and yeah, if you're hearing that over and over again, you need a bit more perhaps to sort of sustain your interest. So that's essentially why we're doing this now.
Yeah, but I mean, the other option is if you have faith in your opinions, and Rich has a lot of opinions as well, doesn't he? I mean, he doesn't shirk on the opinions.
No, and I think you need that, because if it was up to me, because I tend to be quite balanced about what I'm saying, you need someone to sort of say, actually, this is terrible, and that at least makes people's kind of eyes open, and you need a bit of that.
If you're a proper fanboy of say Rich, you could just listen and go, well, Rich says it's fantastic, so I'm going to go and check that one out, and then Rich says it's crap, so I won't bother with that one. I think there's many people who would have that approach, who just listen to what Rich says and just go along with that.
And why not? Now, I'd say the other point, of course, is that I mean, I don't know to what extent anybody in the industry listens to us. I suspect they don't. But I always try and be a bit balanced, because you don't want to keep slagging off, say, one or two particular manufacturers, just in case they think, oh, well, you know, they've clearly got a chip on their shoulder about us. So I try to look for the positive and negative in as much as possible, really, whereas Rich doesn't care.
Yeah, that has been said of him. I suppose I'm just thinking now, do I need to redress the balance on Nike a little bit? I'm not sure. I don't know. But it's too late. Can't do anything about it now. More of the same then next year? That's something you're going to be continuing with then?
Yeah, we're back in the new year, and I mean, we've had a few guests on, people like your good self, and which is always wonderful, just to get a sort of third opinion, and it just sort of keeps things more interesting, and we hope to have more guests and more people on whenever possible. And of course, as you say, we've got the African Cup of Nations coming up, so we'll be looking at that, and there's it won't be long, I suppose, before we reach the end of the domestic season, and then you'll be previewing what's coming up for next season. So although it's going a bit quiet at the moment in terms of new releases, there's always something to talk about, and we can be a little bit nostalgic by picking, say, a particular tournament to look back on. So it's nice for us. So it's just more of the same, really, and keeping up any particular standard that we've already set thus far.
I do like that element of it, the half and half element. So now this is kit news for half of it, and then now we've got this themed element, so we're going to look back on a particular tournament the Christmas kits thing was brilliant. So if you haven't listened to it's probably the latest one when this is published, it will be the latest one when this is published, is look back at whoever in the Premier League seasons who was top at Christmas, because the champions of each season, their kits almost without exception, will become iconic through exploits on the pitch because they actually won. But the other ones are the ones that could so nearly have become iconic if the team that was top at Christmas actually did go on to win the league. And in some cases they did, but not all cases. So you talk about those, and there are some gems in there that have maybe been forgotten because that team is forgotten because they didn't go on to win the league. So yeah, that was particularly interesting, the last one. So also Kit Bliss as well. So what's to come on Kit Bliss? Kit Bliss is your illustration website, so illustrating football kits in a similar way to Historical Football Kits and the True Colours Elements.
That's it.
Would that be fair to describe it as that?
Yeah, I'm not sure it can sort of hold a light to those esteemed sites, but I do what I can. Yeah, it's basically a site with lots of galleries on different kits for as many different teams as I can do, really. It hasn't got the depth of content on those other sites you've mentioned have got, but it's an ongoing process, a slow burner, and I illustrate kits whenever I can. Haven't had a lot of time, unfortunately, just before Christmas because of other things going on, but certainly the new year I'll be doing some more stuff. And I think there's one kind of itch that I'd really like to scratch next year in terms of content, and that is I'd love to do a lot more NASL kits, actually, because, I mean, John Devlin and I recorded a podcast for Your Good Self, actually, some time ago, and we mentioned NASL kits. And in the process of doing research for that, it just suddenly reminded me that there's some brilliant kits from NASL history, and there's one particular website, I think it's nasljerseys.com, which has got just so much wonderful photographic content. And I thought, if I don't use some of that and illustrate some of those kits, then I'm a fool to myself, because it's, I don't know what it is, in the UK, I don't think we sort of saw a great deal of NASL back in the day, back in the late 70s and early 80s, but I mean, I had a book when I was a kid which had all the kits. It was made in about, I think it was published in about 1980, when NASL was still a thing. And just the styling of the kits from the US, I just find really, I don't know, I just get really engaged with it. And obviously, you know, numbers on the front of the shirts and all that kind of stuff. So I'm going to try and do quite a few NASL kits if I can. But that's, can't make any promises, but that's on my list of things to do, let's say.
I've talked about it. I don't know which podcast it was when I talked about it. Well, that was obviously a great one that you and John recorded for the designfootball.com podcast. And it's amazing when you look back at those kits, and they were regarded sometimes as ridiculous and overly branded and so on. And then you see that actually they were massively ahead of their time, and so many modern designs have actually followed them up. So this was pre-sponsorship, so you could just substitute the big name that they had, like graphically printed, with like flourishes and sort of pictures next to it for whatever particularly evocative name that these clubs had, and that's directly translates to the modern day, where the corporate element means that a sponsor can have a picture on the front of your shirt in the same way. So it's obviously a different concept, but it predates that. And also just like design features at the time that were different. They were just trying everything. Adidas in particular were trying all kinds of different things. And we've seen it in modern kits subsequently, and in Europe particularly. But so there are certainly some gems to be found in that period. So that's something great to look forward to. Love checking Kit Bliss. So some of the conceptual stuff you have on there. You do fantasy designs on there as well, don't you?
Fantasy designs, yeah, which again kind of sprang up from Football Attic, because I would occasionally do a sort of kit design feature along the lines of taking something from years ago and putting a modern twist on it, or putting a fantasy layer on top. So, I mean, there's loads of examples there, but things like what would shirts in the late 60s look like if they had late 70s shirt sponsorship and things, silly things like that. And when I switched my Kiplist site from a blogger platform onto a standard HTML platform about a year ago, I thought I'm going to bring across some of that stuff from the Football Attic because it's I quite like it. And those things that I did for the Football Attic, almost always, if I say so myself, put a smile on people's faces and got the biggest response on Twitter because people like seeing fantasy stuff. I mean, you know, seeing things. It's almost like sometimes there's a finite amount of interest that you can get from looking at old football kits. And it's almost like sometimes you feel like you've used up, you've seen every possible, I don't know, Leeds kit or Man United kit or whatever. So when somebody does a fantasy thing, I mean, this is, you know, the joy of design football, really. I mean, you see these galleries, people design stuff that doesn't actually exist. It gives you something new and refreshing to look at. And just by putting, you know, like a Watney's Red Barrel sponsorship logo on a Man United kit from 1968, as it's silly, but it kind of, it almost makes you want to believe that it's real, I think, and that's what I think what people like about it. So there's lots of fantasy stuff on Kiplist, and there's a section on templates, which is again, I'm sort of building up gradually, so you can see how many times a particular a template was used by a wide range of teams. As I say, it's a slow burner. But there should be something on there for people to get their teeth into if they come and visit kitbliss.co.nz.
Yeah, I nostalgia and the fantasy element, the combination of those two things is particularly appealing at the minute because it's escapism, and whilst it's a golden age for kit illustration and fantasy kits and all that kind of stuff, the real world is not a great time for the real world. So anything that allows you to escape from that is a bonus, I think, at the minute. While we're on that subject, two other sites, obviously John Devlin's True Colours website and John Devlin on Facebook and Twitter is where you'll see a lot of the updates there. He's doing some great stuff. And Dennis Hurley on Museum of Jerseys as well does fantasy designs and also brilliant articles on he did two great ones in 2016, which was Serie A kits of 1990-91, which is like his that's like for him the best kits there ever been, and everything should be judged against those, and also the goalkeeper kits, the progression of goalkeeper Adidas goalkeeper kits in the 80s particularly and then through to the 90s. So he did a few articles on that on museumofjerseys.com. So that's some great stuff he's doing there. Now, design football next year, more of the same competitions. There will be member-led competitions. Sometimes there'll be prizes, I think, maybe. But if not, they'll just be just for fun competitions. And that's great. And some great designs sprout from those competitions. There's also something else we're going to be doing. This is the first announcement of this. We're going to be doing something called League of Blog Actor, which is, well, Chris, you had something on
the Football Attic.
This probably needs some explanation, doesn't it? You had something on the Football Attic called the League of Blogs. Can you explain what that was?
Certainly. League of Blogs was a feature that appeared on the Football Attic blog site, I think, I want to say 2011. Well, it might have been 2012, actually. And it came out of nothing, really, but it proved to be a wonderful little sort of sub-project. Basically, Rich Johnson one day designed a football kit. He illustrated a football kit, which, in his view, sort of depicted and... I don't know, it depicted our blog. It's basically like saying, if the Football Attic blog site appeared in football kit form, what would it look like? And so he designed a kit. It used our sort of colours on our blog site, which are brown and light blue. And it was terrific. And he sort of sent it to me. He said, what do you think? I said, oh, it's great. And basically the conversation in short from there on went, I wonder what other football blog sites would look like if they had to be depicted in football kit form. And then the next thing from there was that we sort of said, well, maybe we should, for instance, create a kit template and send that out on our blog and say to people, if you've got a blog, how about designing a kit that represents your blog? And from there I then had the idea that we could then take all of the designs and put them together into a sort of a JPEG. I think I called it like an e-poster, I think, at the time, because it reminded me, or I was reminded of, back in the day when I was a kid, Subutio used to put out these catalogues and posters showing all their different kits that you could buy, all the different teams you could buy. So I sort of said, well, why don't we take everybody's designs, if we get some back, and put them together into a sort of digital version of a poster, effectively. So we did it, and amazingly, the reaction was just tremendous. I mean, everyone went for it completely. And it wasn't a design competition. It was just us, like an open thing, just saying, send us, you know, create a design and send it to us. And everyone just seemed to go for it in a big way, to such an extent that I think we ended up with about 93 different designs. Some people sent us a home and away kit, some just a home kit. I think even one or two people sent us a third kit as well. But it was lovely, because in a strange sort of way, without getting too kind of wet about the whole thing, it was a way of kind of bringing together everyone in the football blogging community and podcasting community as well. It may, because instinctively you would look on the graphic to see where your kit design was, but you'd obviously see everybody else's as well, and you felt like you were standing shoulder to shoulder with other fellow people, and it was lovely. Mm-hmm. So that was League of Blogs, and then in successive years, we did it for another couple of years, but we took it in a slightly different direction, or rather Rich did, because he was doing all the heavy lifting. He basically turned it into a real poster that we got printed out, and people were buying those, and also like a sticker collection as well, with an album and everything. He did some tremendous work there, Rich, on that, and so it was a thing that ran for a few years, and it was just a lovely little sort of aside, really.
Yeah.
Just made, and because everyone thinks that they can design a kit if you give them some felt tip pens or something, or, you know, so everyone instinctively thought, oh, I'll have a go at that. It was just great. That was League of Blogs, essentially.
On the face of it, this is a particularly elaborate blog role, isn't it? Lots of like-minded, in effect, like-minded websites being featured on your website, but in a much more graphical way, and so it was great. And Design Football was a member probably every season, and other websites that I've been involved with were members as well. So it was a fantastic thing. Now, you very kindly, and I think Rich was involved in this, and we had discussions and negotiations and so on. We very kindly allowed League of Blogs, because the Football Attic isn't running in the same way as it was, but you've allowed Design Football to take over League of Blogs. Is that correct? Are we?
Oh, yes. I mean, there's no need to be standing on ceremony quite to such an extent. I mean, we didn't copyright the term League of Blogs, so no, we're just more than happy to allow that to be the sort of influence on this new project that you're about to describe.
Okay, so League of Blogs. But I thought we'd put a twist on it. So a similar sort of situation, which I'll explain in a minute, regarding submitting kits and crests, and I'll explain the rules of that in a second. But we're calling it League of Blog Actor. Now, what's the word for that? I can't believe
the portmanteau.
Portmanteau. Yes, wear a coat. That is that is the word I'm thinking of. It is a portmanteau of blog and log actor. Now, what is log actor?
Right, okay. Stand by for another lecture. Log actor, anyone who used to buy Shoot magazine in the UK back in the 70s and probably for much of the 80s as well, will have seen, consciously or otherwise, a small ad that was always in the back of the magazine for a thing called Log Actor Chart Soccer. Basically what this was is a game that you could buy. It wasn't available in any shops, as they always used to say on the old adverts. It was only available by mail order. And it was a game, not a board game, but it was a game that involved lots of sheets of paper with grids printed on them, plus a series of about 7 different coloured dice, black, red, blue, brown, green, yellow. That was kind of it, and each dice had a different sort of number configuration. So the deal was, you could enact a sort of fantasy football season using these dice, and by filling in the scores from the dice, onto these grids. So you'd have a football, you could do a football league season, you could do FA Cup, League Cup, World Cup, all the three European competitions that were around at the time. You could do it all, and basically what you'd for the league season, let's say, you'd write the names of 16 teams on your chart, and then there were certain specific rules about which die you had to roll for the home team and the away team, because obviously the home team had slight advantage. And then also further into the season, as a team would get more a better form than their opponents, then you use a different coloured dice to denote the gap, let's say, in their quality. I don't know if anything's making any kind of sense. But anyway, it was all dice and filling in charts with scores. And when we were doing the Football Attic blog, I suddenly became aware of this whole Log Actor thing. And I thought, I'm going to investigate this because I'd like to write an article about it. So I bought a sort of set, a Log Actor set, if you like, and played out a season. I did all the competitions, European, you name it. It just went on forever. And I wrote an article about it. And it's a sort of game that, as a kid, you'd love to play it on a sort of wet afternoon, Sunday afternoon, when you can't go out and play football or something. You could just, I was going to say waste hours. I would say waste is not the right word. But you could just fill an entire afternoon in your own mind playing out this kind of fantasy league season and rolling these dice and generating all the scores. And so that was Log Actor, basically. And that article that I wrote is like one of the most popular, if not the most popular thing I ever wrote for the Football Attic, because so many people got in touch and sort of said, oh, I used to play that game and I still own a copy of it and all sorts. It harks back to a real nostalgic era for a lot of people. So, that essentially is Log Actor.
Yeah, I really like that element of it, because you can read that how you want in terms of form. So you change the dice. If your team's doing well, they get a special sort of dice. If they're not doing so well, they get another sort of special sort of dice, which essentially means if they're doing well, they're more likely to win their next fixtures after a certain amount of time. If they're doing badly, they're more likely to do badly in the following fixtures. And you could read that as two things. You could read that as, we found out that team is good, or you could read it as, confidence is a massive part of football. And so if someone goes on a winning run, that means the following results will be positive as well. So that's a great thing. Even though it's a game of chance, there is that element of trends coming into a season. So I don't know. Sorry, go on, Chris.
No, I was going to say it's staggeringly well put together in terms of, well, I was going to say the realism of the results, but this whole thing about, every 4 weeks you have to then reassess which dice get used based on the form of the teams. And it's beautifully engineered to do that. I can't tell you how well that was done. Such admiration for whoever it was that created the game. I have no idea who.
Yeah, that was exactly what I was going to say, that I am amazed that this game wasn't more popular, because it is... That sums it up perfectly. It's brilliantly engineered. So it's not like you're flipping a coin. There's so much more involved in it than that. So great fun to play. The thinking behind people joining up for this is what I said originally, that this is an elaborate blog roll. So what we will do is, there'll be a section on designfootball.com which will in effect be a blog roll page, so there's a bit of exposure for your website. If you want your website to have exposure, that's entirely up to you. There will also be a gallery on the website, which will, if you're listening to this podcast via designfootball.com, then if you look on the Acast screen, there should be a link to the correct gallery where you can upload the kits to. But the point is that we will have match days, and we will most likely do a podcast where Chris, I think you're the best man for this. You'll be actually literally rolling the dice and giving us the results for each matches. And we will actually focus on the odd article from each website and talk about things that we found on the websites that are involved in this, things that are of interest, and maybe podcasts that we've listened to from these websites as well. So there's a little bit of exposure if that's what you're into, or maybe you just want to draw pictures of kits, and you'd like to know what kit you'll be wearing against another team. We do have a commissioner for this, the Mr. Commissioner or the Commissioner. I don't know whether I should keep it secret who it is. I'm not going to keep it secret. It's Dennis Hurley from Museum of Jerseys, who's particularly takes this kind of stuff particularly seriously. So he'll be deciding what kits the teams will be wearing against each other, and those will be shared on Twitter each match day as well. So the different matchups, who's playing who, and what kits they're wearing for each game. And this is important stuff. So the rules will be listed. So in the gallery, if you'd like to get involved, we would like, at the very least, we'll put a template in there, use that template, colour it in with your kit, your website's kit, and a crest. So a home kit and a crest is the absolute minimum. Ideally, if you have the time, please provide us with a home kit, an away kit, a third kit, and two goalkeeper kits. The goalkeeper kits are also the fourth and fifth outfield kits. If you can provide those five kits for us, as well as a crest, that would be ideal. The very minimum is a home kit and a crest. But if you just provide a home kit and a crest, then you leave what you will wear in the event of needing to change. You leave that up to us. So that's up to you. We will decide on your change kits if you do not provide us with further kits. Have I forgotten anything there, Chris, or does that sum it up?
That sums it up. All I was going to add is just that I think it'll be tremendous fun seeing your team, your blog name, your team up against another blog name, and just the sort of expectation of whether your team will win, you know, each week, and the rivalries that I think will build up, the friendly rivalries. I think there's lots of potential there. I think it'll be great fun. So I think it'll be terrific.
Yeah. Exposure, if you're interested in that. Drawing kits, everyone's interested in drawing kits, so you should be interested in that. And also, this game is just the best, and I'm fascinated by it. Chris is the one who gets to play it, so he has the most fun, but I am interested in watching how things unfold as well. In terms of numbers, we haven't decided how many people we're going to have involved in this. We have a rough idea in our heads of the options we have for how many teams can be involved, but just once the gallery is live, submit your blog. And it doesn't matter whether it's a football blog. If you're a member of Design Football and you have your own kit design website, for example, you're eligible. So please enter your website into the gallery. But if you're nothing to do with football kit design, your website's nothing to do with that. If it's nothing to do with football, we don't care. So it can be any sort of website or blog. They're all acceptable, so get them in. What we will do, we've got an idea of how many teams we want, or several options for how many teams we can have in this. Once it reaches the limit, we will close the gallery and say any that have been uploaded past this point will not be able to enter. So just get your designs in quickly. That is the way in which you enter the League of Blog Actor, is to upload your kit design and your crest design in one. I think it'll be one template which will have all the options on there, and we need the home kit and the crest, and that will be acceptable for us. And the very end cutoff is the end of January, because we want to actually kick this off. We're thinking that it'll probably be before then. So get the kits in as quickly as you can. Does that sound right, Chris? Have I forgotten anything now?
No, I was just going to get for clarification. Is it blog sites only, or is it podcasts? Because I know on the old League of Blogs that we did, I think we allowed people who had podcasts to sort of take part. But ultimately, that decision comes down to you.
I think, was there any podcast that did not have? So what would be? What would be the distinction? Didn't they all have their own website, or were?
Well,
were they on like a podcast website or something?
Yeah, I was just going to say the ones I remember, I think they tended to have a website that you could download the podcast from. So they kind of by default probably had a website, if not a blog, attached to them anyway. So year. Depends whether you kind of want your project to be deemed ostensibly a I've said ostensibly three times today. I must rein that in. It's whether you deem your project to be specifically a podcast or a blog. But I mean, there's a considerable amount of blurring of the lines, I think, these days anyway.
So. Yeah. What I would draw the line at is if you are just a Facebook page or just a Twitter account, then that's not enough. But if you have a podcast which is hosted, say even if it's hosted on a third party website, that's probably all right. So just get that in as well. And the point will be that when these things happen, when these matches happen, when these kits are uploaded, we're going to be sharing these on Facebook and Twitter and so on. So there's going to be mentions. If you don't like mentions on Twitter and Facebook, this maybe isn't the thing for you. But if you like us to talk about you and to you on Twitter and Facebook, then this may be of interest. But I'm particularly excited about it. I hope we can get enough members to actually kick this off very soon. And get those entries in. I think we've got already, just with the few of us who are involved in it, we've got 6 or 7 websites already, blogs already. So it'll be kicking off sooner rather than later. Yeah. So that's fantastic. Thank you, Chris, for your involvement in that. Thank you for letting Design Football have the League of Blogs and turning it into the League of Blog Actor. Your assistance will be invaluable as the league progresses. And
expensive,
we'll
as you'll find when you get my invoice.
The League of Blogs.
Did I mention the invoice?
The bill I got for the League of Blogs taking that over was higher than I expected. So but I committed by that point. So okay.
No, it's all good. It'll be excellent.
Okay. Well, that is that's more or less us, I think. So
Happy New Year.
Yeah, Happy New Year. Enjoy 2017. Enjoy the League of Blog Actor, and I look forward to seeing all the great things that you provide for us, Chris. And
thank you.
Yeah, be great to speak to you soon. We'll have you back on very soon.
That'd be wonderful. Look forward to that.
Okay, so Happy New Year to everyone. Thank you, Chris, and
thanks, Jay.
See you next year. Bye-bye. Bye
bye. Bye. Bye.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.